I am Planta on the line. This is thecommentary.ca. There's a marvelous book out now called Save the Deli in Search of Perfect Pastrami, Crusty Rye, and the Heart of Jewish Delicatessen. Its author comes from a passionate place as he strives to illuminate the past and future of the Jewish deli and seeks the best authentic deli food across the continent and beyond. It is part social history, part travelogue, and a tremendous food guide. From corned beef, pastrami, and brisket to rye, mustard, knishes, matzo ball soup, and more, we get a taste of the food we've all had a fondness for, whether we're Jewish or not. The deli is in trouble, what with the homogenization of food tastes, a concern for healthier food, plus the rents for some delis are rather high. David Sachs has written a wonderful appreciation with this book. He's got a great website at savethedeli.com. His journalism credits include the Globe and Mail, Toronto Life, The Walrus, GQ, VanityFair.com, Rolling Stone, and The New Republic. Save the Deli is published in Canada by McClelland and Stewart. Please welcome to the Planta on the Line program, David Sachs. Good morning, Mr. Sachs.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
Were there some people who thought you were Meshuggah for writing this book?
Yes. And they were probably right about it as well. There are easier ways to make money and easier ways to get fat, I think.
Yeah.
Even those who had a deep appreciation for it, who love deli, called me Meshuggah, because it's one thing to eat it, you know, delicatessens once in a while. It's another thing to fully plunge yourself into this culture and, you know, travel around the world, visiting hundreds of Jewish delis. So it does require a bit of insanity, just as anyone who's actually in the business requires a bit of insanity if that's so.
Yeah. How did this project begin for you? Was it, I understand it was a school thing?
Yeah, when I was at McGill about, I guess, 7 years ago, studying there in undergrad, I took a course on Jewish sociology, and a friend and I wrote a paper about the Jewish deli. We did it sort of as a lark, I suppose, but what I found got me really interested in the topic, and that was that the delicatessen was disappearing. It was something that was endangered. And so I knew that I wanted to turn it into a book. We had initially planned to do it together. He was smart enough to go to law school out in Vancouver. And so this is something that I guess I took on as, you know, a couple years into my journalism career.
Now, the food is Jewish, but ethnically I would consider it American, is it?
It's an interesting hybrid. You know, its bases are in the Jewish communities of Eastern Europe, or Ashkenazi Europe, which existed for much of the second millennium. And those foods, interestingly enough, were sort of kosher versions of Polish food or Russian food or German food or Hungarian food and so forth and so on. And when those foods came to North America, to New York City, really was the main port of entry for most Eastern European Jewish immigrants, they took shape in the way that became very American, which was the sandwich, right? The big, meaty sandwich was not something that people were eating in Warsaw and the shtetls of the Ukraine. It's very much a Jewish-American or Jewish-North-American hybrid. And you know, Canadian culture sort of followed along with this as well, because our culinary influences were very much American in terms of diners and these types of places.
And you traveled a great deal in the book. Where else did you see its influence?
The influence of
the Jewish delicatessen food.
Well, essentially anywhere where there are large communities or significant communities of Eastern European Jewish immigrants, with some exceptions. So in let's say, London, England, the scene developed very similar to the scene in North America. Again, sandwich shops and these sorts of diners. In France and in Belgium, it wasn't about sandwiches. It was about finely cured meats and expensive sausages, which have the same culinary base as the smoked meat sandwich at Schwartz's in Montreal, but is interpreted through that lens of French gastronomy, I guess you would call it. But there are places where there are large populations of Eastern European Jews that delicatessen culture didn't develop. I lived for a number of years in Argentina, which has a population that's about 300,000 Jews, mostly in Buenos Aires, mostly from the same sorts of areas as the Jews that opened delis in New York and Montreal and Toronto and other places. And there's just no deli culture that exists currently. There may have been a small thing at one time, but that never took off because, again, it was, you know, the sandwich shop was never something that was very big. It's a different style of cooking. And in Israel, you don't find many, if any, Jewish delicatessens. Again, the climate wasn't suitable for it. The agricultural products weren't available. It just didn't transfer over well, and so it was, you know, that diet was changed more to the Mediterranean diet. But it largely is in North America. You know, I would say 90-something percent is in North America. And then in the UK would sort of be the other larger number. And then you get a couple of scattered little spots. For instance, Hong Kong, which has a large Jewish expat community, happens to have like three Jewish delis.
Really?
And once many more.
Yeah. As a fan of delis and the food, you had to separate yourself as a journalist. Was there something that you sought out that you wanted to hear about the culture?
Well, I will say this. I never separated myself as a journalist from being a fan of the food.
Really?
Yeah. The love, yeah. I mean, I was objective, you know, in the sense that face value, but I went into it with a deep love for it, and that love is really the passion that drives the heart of the story and drives the, you know, the quest to save the deli. What I was looking for when I would walk into a place was the story of that store, and really the soul of it, because each business is tied to a family, which is tied to a history, which is tied to a culture, and how that business evolved from the person, you know, making their very first bowl of matzo ball soup some decades back to the place where it was today, told the story of a community. And so there were many delis that I went to that didn't make it into the book, not because their food wasn't remarkable or wasn't good, because their story wasn't relevant to the overall story of that community's evolution. And that might have been because the owner wasn't necessarily a very talkative person. Usually that's what I was looking for, story, that could sort of tie the culture and the food together.
Someone asked me the other day what the difference between pastrami was and corned beef, and I couldn't give them an answer.
Okay. It's similar, but it's certainly different. Both are meats that have been pickled, so that have been salted very heavily. Corned beef is cut of beef. It comes from the brisket, which is sort of the chest or breast of beef. That's submerged in a wet barrel of pickling liquid, so water, salt, sugar, various spices, but it's a liquid. It's like cucumber pickles. It's the same sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then after about a week or so, it's boiled and steamed and cut and served. And it has a milder flavor. It's not really spicy at all. It's very salty, garlicky. Those are, you know, somewhat sweet. Pastrami is made from a cut called the navel, which comes just behind the brisket. It's sort of the belly, the bacon of beef. And it's rubbed, a dry rub, so it's not submerged in water. It's rubbed with salt, again, to cure it, but also heavier, sort of more fiery spices, paprika, peppercorn, coriander seed, mustard seed, and sugar. And it has a black coating on the outside, pretty much. And then it's smoked, either over wood or simply baked, and that gives it a smoky flavor, too. It gives it a different type of taste. And again, that's then steamed and sliced in the sandwich, and it's spicy. It's salty as well, but the pepper really is sort of what gives it that flavor, and the sugars and the, you know, the other aromatic spices, too.
When I go to the deli here in Vancouver, I have a fondness for brisket, so that's what I would have because I just don't like the pickled taste of corned beef and the sort. What do you prefer?
You know, I love them all. I love all my children equally.
Yeah.
And it depends on where I am, right? Some places will do corned beef better than anything else. Some places will do a brisket better than anything else. So with each deli I go to, I try to remember what their specialty is or what the thing that I simply prefer there and mix it up.
And when you have a sandwich, say, do you have a bowl of matzo ball soup or kreplach?
Pretty much always, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel it's almost naked to have the sandwich by itself.
And then what else goes with the meal for you?
Full sour dill pickle, only full sour for me. That's my preference.
Yeah.
Coleslaw. And then, you know, depending on how much appetite I have, maybe French fries or a potato knish, noodle cocoa for dessert, or that sweet casserole of eggy noodles for dessert, or perhaps chocolate or cinnamon rúcula, those little cookies.
Yeah.
You know, there are many things. I don't know, sometimes if I go in for dinner and I don't just want a sandwich, I'll get a cabbage roll or meatloaf or chopped liver to start off with. My palate has expanded as my waistline has as well.
And in Brooklyn, the food there is good, do you find? I mean, it's not the best in America, according to the book.
Well, you know what? Brooklyn, I mean, once upon a time had hundreds and hundreds of delis. There were close to 500,000, close to half the borough of Brooklyn, I believe, at one point was Jewish.
Yeah.
And now it's slightly less, and there were hundreds of delis, and now there's only about five. So there are some excellent Jewish delicatessens in Brooklyn that I've been to, and had a number of really good dishes. It's quite good. You know, the overall level in New York is very, very high. I've tasted other things in other cities that are, you know, great highlights, and some of it just comes from one individual delicatessen. Sometimes it's a whole city or community that does something that's extraordinary.
The biggest threat, the biggest challenge to delicatessens are rents, and health trends, and people just forgetting traditions in general. But this trend to healthier eating, has that affected it a great deal?
Certainly, yeah, certainly. Really, in the past few decades, you've seen that people always knew that deli wasn't health food, it wasn't diet food, but they ate it in moderation and they did it okay. And then, you know, in the past 20 years, we've just become so obsessed with diet and not necessarily a healthier diet, but, you know, Diet Coke and these sorts of things, artificial sweetener, that people have come to fear deli. They came to believe that deli would kill them. When that wasn't necessarily the case, as long as you're eating it in moderation. So I think the fear is greatly overblown. There are many people who are in their 90s who enjoy deli on a regular basis, not a daily basis. And unfortunately, it has affected business. And delis have had a difficult time sort of repositioning themselves in the face of that.
Have you seen delis sort of try to make it healthier, perhaps? Lower the salt content, maybe?
I've heard of it. I've actually heard recently that, you know, some delis are lowering the salt in their cure for the meat because we have refrigeration now. So you no longer, you know, the cures were originally from a time before refrigeration. And you know, they're lowering the sodium in salt in soup and some other things. But again, you know, nobody goes into a deli expecting health food. In the same way that you wouldn't go into a hamburger restaurant and expect that as well. You know, a deli delicatessen sandwich, it should be enjoyed fatty and salty. I mean, that's the flavor. That's the essence of it. To me, it makes more sense to have smaller portions of it. That I think, is probably something that delis can do a lot easier than trimming back the flavor aspect of it. But, you know, it remains to be seen. Most people are going in are putting their health thoughts aside for a night, which doesn't mean to say that it's terribly unhealthy, but it's just, it's not the salad crowd.
Did you talk to a lot of young people in the book about who are seriously considering going into the business, keeping these traditions?
Yeah, it's, the future of the delicatessen business is obviously in the newer generations. Just south of where you are, just relatively south of where you are, in Portland, Oregon, there's a great delicatessen that opened up in the past 2 years called Kenny and Zook's. And, it's younger guys in their early sort of 40s, or one that is, I guess, 50s. It's young in a deli sense. But, you know, they've really gone back to making things from scratch. Very much a do-it-yourself deli, and they bake their own breads from scratch, and they try to use as few preservatives as possible. And in a way, that's a healthy deli because it's not relying on products that have been brought in by outside purveyors and it has an eye on sourcing and you know, the origin of the meat and the origin of the product.
There were two poignant moments for me. One was, I guess, a friend of a friend of yours was dying, and you'd brought him. The friend had brought him I forget what it was now, a sandwich from the deli, and he had
chopped liver.
Yeah, chopped liver. That's it. Yeah, I'm still thinking about it weeks after I finished the book. The other one is you went to Poland.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what was that experience like for you?
It was probably the most interesting and intense part of researching this book because I had never been to Eastern Europe and you know, this is where this culture had come from. I mean, Poland was once home to 80% of the world's Jews. That's the equivalent of all the Jews in the United States and Israel together today. You know, so much of this food, while we identify it as you said, as North American, comes from Poland, is rooted almost in Polish culture. And I went there and I saw the rye breads and I saw bagels that came from Jewish bakers in Krakow, which were still being sold on the street. But, you know, the Holocaust had obviously erased all that, and it was pretty flooring to learn that there were only some 300 and something Jews left in Krakow, which was once the spiritual seat of Eastern European Judaism. It was sort of astounding, and yet at the same time very interesting to see that there was this revival of Jewish culture taken up by non-Jewish Poles, which included klezmer music and Yiddish language, and in some ways cooking, and in some ways there were restaurants in the Jewish quarter of Krakow which claimed to be Jewish. Now, a few of them were really tasteless in the most horrific sense of the word. They had pork dishes and other insanely non-kosher dishes on the menu, and they often sold figurines and had paintings of the stereotypical images of what a Jew would look like to someone who's never met one, especially in Eastern Europe, which, you know, had these horrible long noses and pallid skin, and they were clutching bags of money and coins. I mean, it was
like Borat.
A Borat skin taken to its extreme. there were also people who were genuinely interested in preserving this culture for the sake of Polish history, and so that kind of warmed my heart, while the other part of it was disgusted by what I saw. It was a very interesting place. It was just a living contradiction.
That the end of that chapter, man, that's just, I mean, it's just so beautifully written. I mean, I still think about it, yeah. What is this dish, the chicken skin? It's fried, is it? How do you pronounce that? I can't.
Gribanis? Yeah.
Yeah. And did you see a lot of that? I mean, I've never seen that in a restaurant here.
I'm trying to, you know, there's only a handful of delis that do it. The most famous one, best known, is the Second Avenue Delicatessen in New York City. There's also one in Houston that does it, and I'm trying to think where else I'd had it. But essentially, it's, you know, chicken skin that's been deep fried in chicken fat, like a kosher pork rind, basically. And it has a wonderful texture. It just kind of crackles and crunches, and it's greasy beyond imagination. And it's best served just kind of crumbled up on top of some chopped liver spread on rye bread or pumpernickel that has caramelized onions on it. It gives a nice crunchy consistency and a contrast to that chopped liver.
My heart just skipped a beat.
I probably died.
Yeah.
I just stopped beating.
You've traveled a great deal of the United States on this book tour, I understand.
Yeah. I was, God knows how many cities.
Yeah.
Coast to coast.
Does it hearten you to see so many people interested in the subject?
Certainly, and you know, the amount of emails I've received in the past couple of years, when I had the blog up, and obviously when the books come out, that number increased of people who just write to tell me their stories about the deli that they grew up in, the deli that they fell in love with, the deli that resonated with them. Some of them are people who own delis. Some of them are people who just have a connection to it through the food. They may not even be Jewish. They may not even live in this continent, and they they just want to share the stories with it. There's something about Jewish delicatessens that I think is different than other restaurants. There's a strong emotional connection that people have with them. People who remember a meal from the Jewish deli 20, 30, 40, 50 years later. And I don't know anywhere else where people have that sort of passion or that connection, which is wonderful. I mean, that's sort of the best part of this whole thing, besides the food, has been delving into that culture where people just absolutely love this food and this institution.
What's next for you? What else are you working on?
I just got back from the book tour yesterday, so right now I'm going through my mail and just sort of prepping a few things and reorganizing everything after the book tour, then we'll move on to the next sort of thing.
You've been good to do this. I appreciate it. Mazel tov on writing the book, and I've got to pronounce this right, Es Gesund.
Es Gesund. Thank you very much. So what is the deli that you recommend in Vancouver? Is it
Star
Deli?
Well, there's Kaplan's, Kaplan's Star Deli. That's on 41st and Oak. And there's one downtown that's just opened, and I can't remember the name of it right now. They've fashioned it as a sort of fast food almost.
Oh, interesting.
It's in downtown Vancouver, yeah. I'll have to email.
The Olympics.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. The book is called Save the Deli, In Search of Perfect Pastrami, Crusty Rye, and the Heart of Jewish Delicatessen. It's published by McClelland and Stewart. The website, an excellent website. You must see it. Savethedeli.com. The author, David Sachs, on the line in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.